I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My favorite's on the line right now.
Yes.
The North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Former Browns offensive lineman, now part of the Browns Radio Network and doing a fine job. Andy likes to think that he gave him his big break in life.
I did not. I do not. He's Mr. Media now, though. Do you remember when he was just like an offensive lineman? I mean, come on.
I remember,
man,
when he was our buddy, and it was kind of cute that he was with us. Now he's everywhere. He's John Greco. Hello,
What's
John.
What's up, guys? How are we doing today?
How are you?
Very well, man.
I'm doing well. I was hoping I was caller 8 for the Barley House thing, but I don't think so.
We'll take care of you. We'll take care of you. You can always be caller number 8.
Good, good. Well, yeah, Andy, I do credit to you for giving me a nice little start, and I always enjoy being on with you guys.
Well, we love that, and you did everything on your own, so you don't.
Yeah.
I made one phone call and said, hey, man, want to be on the air for free? And you were like, sure, why not? And that was the end of it.
Sure.
But we always appreciate your insight.
Yeah, we do.
Absolutely.
Hey, John, the Browns were in a position where they were favored and supposed to beat a team, and guess what? They beat a team, and yet we hear some folks saying, well, it was Washington and Haskins, and then blah, blah, blah. Come on, man. When's the last time anybody had the you-know-whats to argue about the Browns winning a game? Come on.
I know, and that's the thing. It's, you know, if they were on the other side of that yesterday, let's say that, you know, Washington converts down there in the red zone and they take the lead like they did going into the fourth, and things don't go well in the fourth quarter for the Browns. Then what are we talking about today? It's very ugly. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in a win is a win. There are no god-awful teams in the NFL. There are teams that are, you know, a ways away from winning and being contenders. But that Washington team yesterday, you know, they had five turnovers. I mean, that's bad ball. But, you know, you still got to show up and play, you know, the 62 snaps that both teams did. So I never discredit a win. A win is a win. There's no asterisk on it at the end of the season. It is in the win column.
John, can you just, I know you put it that way, people, how hard it is to win a football game in the NFL. We can all sit here in TV land and watch everything and go, oh, well, what happened to that right guard there? I must have pulled the wrong way. You know, I played junior high school football. I know how that works. I mean, it is so hard to win a game in the NFL, and I can't believe we sat here. I listened a little bit yesterday, and today some of our callers are like, man, Baker Mayfield needs more passes. Explain to them how hard it is to get one of these wins.
You know, it is difficult. Unless you're a team that just has everything rolling, you know, you look at teams like the Chiefs right now, you know, especially last year, and New England, when they were rolling, you know, they're just well-oiled machines. They have people in place. They have systems. They have their players. It's just they've been in a groove for so long. You know, the Browns are under a new staff. You know, they still have a young quarterback. Baker Mayfield, whether you like it or not, is a young quarterback. He's on his third different coach. Am I wrong in saying that?
Fourth.
You know, there's new players around him. They're trying to kind of, you know, get him going in the right direction. There's new guys in defense, you know, so they're trying to do everything they can to get this thing going in the right direction. And guys, we're 2-1. I mean, the first time, and we talked about it since 2014, they've been, you know, above 500. And since 2011, I think that the team was 2-1. So going into, you know, really October, gearing up to finish the first quarter of the season, I like where they're at. Worst case scenario, they're going to be 500 here going into October. So, I mean, how many times have we been able to say that? So, yes, it is hard to win, and I like where they're at right now.
John, the Browns are among the league leaders at 170 yards rushing per game. Why has it been successful? We know they have two good running backs, but it takes more than that. Why is it working?
I'll tell you what. I heard Coach Stefanski talking about it. It goes, you know, little things. Baker carrying out his fakes. O-lineman finishing. You know, establishing those double-team blocks, working from the first level, which is the defensive line, to the second level. Wide receivers blocking downfield and staying on their guys and not taking the playoff because it's not a pass. You know, the running backs, the two terrific backs that we have, being, you know, having the great vision, starting, you know, on their proper targets and landmarks, and then just having, being great players and making cuts and making guys miss, breaking tackles. And the thing that's impressing me the most is, you know, they're falling forward. If you see them and if the play's blocked for 2 yards, they're getting four. If it's blocked for 6 yards, they're getting eight. And then there's plays where it's not blocked for anything, and, you know, you look and it's a 20-yard gain. So it's just all 11 guys contributing, and it helps because you have two terrific backs that can, you know, really make something out of nothing.
Hey, John, what do you think Jed Wills so far? I mean, yesterday there were little setbacks here and there yesterday, but he's three games into his career, and he switched sides on the line. Just your thoughts on how he's playing and kind of break it down for us that can't really read offensive line and where we see growth.
You know, I'll put it like this. I haven't seen anything that are red flags that I need to be hitting the panic button. When he's in trouble and when he's under duress, he doesn't completely abandon his technique and go in the tank. You know, he had a penalty and he has things, you know, he gets beat. Everybody gets beat unless you're, you know, Joe Thomas. But he gets beat. He doesn't let it affect him. He comes back the next play and dominates. And that's what I like about him so far. And, you know, getting back to kind of the technique side of things, everything that we talked about in the offseason and after they drafted him are showing up on tape. His physicality, his athleticism, and his technique. His sets in the pass game remind me of Joe's, just how fluid they are, how really it looks effortless when he's doing it, and it's impressive to watch.
John Greco joining us, former Browns lineman, part of the Browns Radio Network. I think we saw the commitment that Kevin Stefanski has to the run late in the game yesterday, John, because I thought there were a couple of points where, you know, under normal NFL thoughts, all right, you're going to mix in some passes here. But Kevin just ran the ball because it was working. And I think that's interesting. How does that – well, first of all, what do you think about his commitment to what works, which I think might be more old school than anything else, John? And what does that do for Baker Mayfield?
Well, first, it's refreshing to see that, you know, if it's not broke, you know, why fix it? And you know, stick to what's working and doing well and what you're good at. And that's what – the whole league knows that the Browns are a terrific rushing offense right now. Now, to answer your question about Baker, what it does for him, it allows him to not try to win the game himself. You know, that's the thing. The Browns are fortunate right now, you know, outside of Baltimore. They haven't had to rely on him throwing the ball 60 times a game to win the game. You know, it's been balanced for the most part. It's been pretty close to 50-50. And like you were saying, they've been relying on a run-heavy, you know, offense as the game progresses, and that's what you want. And it seems like their MO right now is to try to get different people incorporated. You know, this game they went to Austin Hooper early, and you saw the tight ends show up a little bit more here and there. You know, the game before you saw Odell really try to, you know, wake him up and get him going a little bit. So it seems like each week they have kind of a different flavor of the day in their openers. To try to get up early and score some points. And then they know in their back pocket they have those two terrific backs. And looked at, you know, on Kareem, on his touchdown, you know, anytime you have him split out and you have a linebacker covering him playing corner, I mean, I love that mismatch. So they're doing things. They're creating mismatches, and they're creating opportunities and getting the ball into their playmakers' hands. That's really been fun to watch.
Hey, John, let me just throw this question outside of the NFL for a second. The Mid-American Conference decided to come back this weekend. Just your thoughts on that, being a MAC guy from Toledo, and how important it was for college for the Mid-American Conference to hop back in this season, even though it's only going to be a six-game schedule.
Well, you know, it's very important. You know, like you said, playing there, you know, I like watching them. I think it's the league and the talent has, you know, only improved as the years have gone on, and you see a lot of MAC football players in the NFL and contributing on different teams. So it's good to have it back. You know, the MAC isn't this huge money juggernaut like the Big Ten and the SEC and the, you know, some of these other conferences. So it's very important to have them playing and on TV when we like to watch them late in the year on, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and all those weekday games. So it's very important for the conference to be out there and showcase their ability and get guys that are on the national stage that the way they can progress into the NFL.
Let me go back to the Browns. What did you see on defense yesterday? Dealing with some injuries, some guys mixing back in a little bit. Where do you see growth? Where do you see need?
Well, you know, like you said, they had some guys come back. I thought the linebackers played a little bit better. You can tell, and I think, you know, Coach Stefanski challenged them during the week. So I thought you saw a lot more physical play out of them, and it seemed like they upped their game. You know, the defensive line is a total nightmare. Opposing offensive lines, you know, we used to call them red dots when you look at the scouting report at the beginning of the week. You know, it's obviously Miles. He's got five red dots around him at all times. There's no missing that guy. But, you know, their whole line is an issue. And you can't just say, okay, hey, let's get four guys sliding to Miles here and, you know, the right tackle had the day off. No, I see the interior guys getting pushed and wreaking havoc in the run and pass game. And the guys off the edge have been very impressive. And that's the thing. It seems like this team, you know, everybody says, let's start in the trenches. It all starts in the trenches. And I'm a firm believer in that. You can have, you know, the best running backs in the game. And if you can't block for them, you know, you're not going to score. And you're not going to put up yardage. Same thing on the other side of the ball. You know, the second and third levels are going to get better as the year goes on because of how talented that front four are.
John, in week one, Baltimore, you thought, all right, this is going to be tough. It was. Week two, think you can beat Cincinnati? You did. Week three, think you can beat Washington? You did. Now you get a Dallas team that lights it up offensively, and their defense is pretty darn good too. What do you expect? Do you expect a Stefanski offensive plan where you try and keep it away by running the ball? Or do you think that they can go out and, or would have to go out, John, and put up a lot of points, throw the football perhaps, to try and keep up with the Cowboys?
You know, I think they can do both. I think that they can light up a scoreboard like anyone in the league. You know, they're playing kind of that small ball right now with handing the ball off, controlling the clock, and trying to play that game. And yesterday they had five takeaways. So anytime you're plus five in the turnover margin, you're going to win a lot of games. So I think going into it, it's just play smart, fundamental football. And, you know, if you look at that game yesterday with Dallas, they had 500 yards of total offense and lost. I mean, how often does that happen? So you got to expect them to, you know, throw the ball all over the field. They're going to try to get Zeke Elliott going because I know he, you know, didn't have his typical day yesterday. But Dak Prescott has the ability to catch guys and score quick and score now. So the defense is going to have to play very well. With that being said, you know, they shuffled around some offensive linemen late in the game there. I know they benched one of their tackles and kicked the guy out. And, you know, they were kind of playing musical chairs during the game. So it sounds like, you know, maybe there's some issues there, some uncertainty there. So that could be something that you look for the Browns D-line to take advantage of.
John, thank you very much, sir. Always a pleasure and love the expertise.
Thanks, John.
It's always good to be on with you guys. Have a good day.
John
you
Greco,
too.
Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.